fourth, 2005, to order. In attendance is Senator Stedman, Senator Dyson, and myself, Senator Wagner. We'll be joined in a few minutes by Senator Seekins. Before us today, we have Senate Bill 102, Coastal Zone Management. We have invited four people to speak to this bill. The sponsor will present the bill to the committee, Senator Gary Stevens' staff. Then we will invite Randy Bates to present the department. The department presentation and their testimony. Then we will invite three representatives of the coastal districts to make their presentations to the committee. I don't plan to move the bill. I will be holding the bill. And please let the record show that Senator Guest has joined us. So at this time, I would like Doug Letch to come forward and present the bill to the committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Doug Letch, staff to Senator Gary Stevens, and I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to present Senate Bill 102 to the Resources Committee today. The Alaska Coastal Management Program is what we're talking about, also known as ACMP. This is a partnership between federal, state, and local governments that provides state and local governments a voice in the federal decision on making coastal issues. This program is one that Alaskans have used since 1977. It annually channels millions of dollars in federal grant money to the states, and it has helped guide our coastal development in the state for many years. Without this program, state and local governments will lose their ability to control development on federal land in the Outer Continental Shelf. Additionally, the state will lose millions in federal coastal management planning money. You may recall that 2 years ago, at the request of the administration, the legislature enacted, passed HB 191. The bill substantially revised the state coastal program, and as a result, the Federal Office of Ocean and Coastal Resource Management, also known as OCRM, must approve this revised program. Since then, OCRM has determined that additional revisions are necessary before they can grant approval. The 2003 legislation also included state-imposed deadlines for revisions to local coastal programs, and coastal districts are attempting to follow the statutory directive to revise their programs in order to meet those new requirements. However, since OCRM has identified problems with the state's guidance to local districts regarding the scope and content of their program, our districts are asking for some more time to cope with these changes and what may come down the line. And because of OCRM's decisions, the state will have to revise the regulatory guidelines for the local districts before the new program can be approved, if the state chooses to go that way. In turn, local districts will have to re-revise their programs to meet new guidelines. So it's become kind of a complicated thing for our districts. What Senate Bill 102 will do is extend the deadline for district coastal program revisions, and will annul the existing program upon federal approval of the state's program. We believe that the extension will ensure an orderly and efficient transition to whatever the new program may be. When this bill was heard previously by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, the one thing that we heard overwhelmingly was that our coastal district managers needed more time to come up with revised plans. So that's one of the reasons why we're bringing this bill forward. We do have some folks on the line, and also Randy Bates, as you mentioned earlier, from the Department of Natural Resources, can speak to the more technical issues of this bill, and I'd prefer to defer specific questions about that to the department and the folks that we have online, including Tom Lohman from the North Slope Borough, also Marv Smith from Lake and Peninsula Borough, and Gabrielle LaRouche, who's been working with the Aleutians West Borough on this issue. With that, I'd like to close my portion of the testimony, unless you have any questions you'd like to ask of me.
Any questions of Mr. Letch? Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
This time we'll hear from Randy Bates.
Good Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Randy Bates. I'm the Deputy Director of the Office of Project Management and Permitting, an office within the Department of Natural Resources. OPMP is the lead agency for the Alaska Coastal Management Program. In front of you, you should have the written testimony that I provided earlier this morning. I will let that stand rather than read it in, unless you would rather I cover some of those issues. The only point I'd like to make at this point is that we did have a very productive meeting last week, March 30th, between members of the officials of the state and the coastal district representatives. We talked about the state's commitment to pursuing and aggressively pursuing a federal approval of the coastal management program, and we spent a lot of time listening to the districts and hearing what their concerns were and their desires for additional time. We believe that was a very productive meeting. We look forward to the partnership and the relationship that we have to continue to move forward and push on OCRM to approve Alaska's coastal management program in the way that we have submitted it. With that, I will just say I'm here to answer any questions you have, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, and I'll be available at your request.
Are there any questions of Mr. Bates? Senator Guess.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and my apologies because I didn't see your memo until I just sat down here. Am I correct that you're not in support of the bill?
Senator Guest, through the chair, that is correct. The administration does not support the CS for SB 102.
Did you support the previous version?
No.
Just wanted to make sure, just the way you stated that, that I was clear on that. Can you just state briefly about, without getting technical terms, but generally, kind of, what's the main issue with giving people a little bit more time to finish these plans?
Certainly, and that, Senator Guest, through the chair, I would point back to, as we walk through the district plan submission, there is some information back there that I think gets to some of the points, but very quickly within the testimony. We believe, as a department, we have given the coastal districts the information that they need to be successful in writing their district plan revisions. We have shared with them information as well as teleconferences and meetings to make sure that they have the information and the guidance they need to craft enforceable policies and the other revisions within their district plans. As we heard in the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee, as we heard at the meeting last week, the coastal districts will be able to get their plan revisions in without question by the deadline on July 1st. The districts, as we understand it, would like more time, but they do not need more time. A third reason why we would not support this CS at this point is that there is a fiscal note with it, and that does have some concern for us. And one of the substantial reasons that the administration at this point does not support the bill is that we are in ongoing negotiations with OCRM, the governing body of the Federal Coastal Zone Management Program. At this point, we expect to respond back to OCRM in the negotiations, and it does not seem appropriate to extend deadlines when we're still fighting for the approval of a federal program. And to give a federal oversight agency like this additional time to push back on the state and mandate a program that does not work for our state doesn't seem prudent.
Any additional questions for Mr. Bates? Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go online. In Sitka, Gabrielle LaRouche.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead and proceed, please.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Wagner and members of the committee. My name is Gabrielle LaRouche of LaRouche & Associates. I'm currently working with 9 coastal districts around the state, including the Aleutians West Coastal Resource Service Area, to revise their plans. I was previously on the team that worked on the first draft of the regulations actually implementing House Bill 191. have collectively over 20 years of experience with coastal management in the state of Alaska, previously as the program manager with the state and prior to that with local government. So I'm certainly available to answer any of your questions, but I do have a few brief points I would like to make. I am here today to encourage you to consider an extension of the timelines that are currently mandated from the original bill. I understand that the administration is concerned about the extension and that may compromise their negotiating position with the federal approving agency, OCRM. As such, I suggest perhaps a scaled-back approach to that extension that is not tied to the OCRM approval. Rather, a straight-up six-month extension to January 1st. I have basically two reasons for suggesting this. And first of all, I would agree with the statement that was previously made and that all of my clients will meet the July 1st, 2005 deadline. However, 6 months additional time would significantly improve the public process for the districts and allow the state the time to resolve remaining differences with OCRM. One of the remaining issues that is of most concern is the issue of federal consistency, or the requirement that federal permits and actions be conducted to the maximum extent practicable with the state plan and with the local plan. How this issue is resolved between OCRM and the state does have bearing on the manner in which the plans are revised. For example, I am currently working with CITCA on a revision to their public use management plan. That is a co-management plan for several lands and adjacent tidelands. We currently have drafted that plan in a manner which complies with the new state laws. However, I believe it will not meet the requirements of the Federal Coastal Zone Management Act. How the issue is resolved between OCRM and the state will require additional amendments to this plan. And it's not just this plan, I could give you several other examples. Doesn't it make sense to give the state and OCRM the time to resolve this issue before requiring the districts to submit the plan? The second issue is the public process. Currently, the process is extremely limited. There's only a 21-day public review that's actually required by law, and it also means that many of these districts are putting forth plans without having had adequate time to work with the cities and villages within their borough and within the Coastal Resource Service area. With more time, this outreach could be conducted, and the plans could more accurately reflect issues of global concern. I would point out that House Bill 191 was very focused on issues of global concern. This was a major shift in the program. And with additional time, the plans would much better reflect that legislative intent. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I am, of course, available to answer any of your questions.
Is there any questions of Ms. LaRouche? There are no questions at this time. Will you be staying online for the rest of the hearing?
Yes, sir, I will.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to North Slope Borough to Tom Lohman.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. This is Tom Lohman. Can you hear me?
You're coming in fine.
Great. Thanks again. Again, my name is Tom Lohman. I've been with the North Slope Borough now for almost 18 years and worked with our coastal management program since it was adopted in 1988. Let me start by saying the North Slope Borough strongly supports the SB 102. We're here to talk about the timelines imposed by HB 191 passed a couple of years ago, and specifically two timelines that involve the July 1 date. The first, as you've heard about from Gabrielle, is the date by which we have to submit our revised programs to DNR. And the second, of course, is the date by which the state has to reach resolution of its ongoing negotiations with OCRM. We're not exactly sure why DNR continues to link those two issues. we had, as Randy said, a very productive meeting, I thought, with DNR and administration officials last Wednesday. And I'm not sure we got an answer to that question at the meeting. I think the state, I would have approached it the same way, but they feel like they need to hold OCRM's feet to the fire with the July 1 date to further their negotiations. And that may be legitimate. We are not part of those negotiations as the district. But again, I don't see how that aspect of the July 1 deadline is related to the July 1 deadline that we in the districts are working within. Let's get two things out of the way, I guess, at the outset. We have not, as I said, been part of those negotiations between DNR and OCRM. We're essentially on the sidelines watching these big dogs fight, and it's our fate that is being decided, essentially. You've got something like two-thirds of the residents of the state of Alaska who reside in our coastal districts. I think we had over 200 communities represented at our meeting last week with the 27 coastal district reps that came to talk about this issue with the officials on about 6 days' notice. I mean, that'll give you some indication of how important this is to those districts. And it's the coastal communities and the residents of those coastal communities whose fates are being decided. Randy spoke of not backing off from our negotiations with OCRM because you don't want to give up a program, or you don't want a program that does not work for the state. Well, in our minds in the districts, if they do not reach resolution of those outstanding concerns, you have done something by letting the program go away that is dramatically not in the best interest of the state. As Randy also said, and Gabrielle said as well, all of the coastal districts have expressed their commitment to submit their plans by the July 1 deadline. So you might say, sort of, why are we here? The short answer is we want to produce decent product, and we only want to do it once. Let's start with the deadline. We think it was ambitious to begin with. It was premised on the changes to the ACMP being considered a routine change to the program rather than a full amendment. I think everybody who saw the initial drafts of 191 and even the final outcome of 191 realized that this was far more than routine and had to have been considered an amendment. Secondly, the problem was compounded by DNR's acknowledged significant lack of staff for several months after the program was moved from the governor's office to DNR. The problem was further compounded by delays in hiring the consultants to draft the initial version of the regulations that are now at issue. The districts have said that there has been a significant lack of clarity and guidance from DNR regarding the revised district plans, what could be and should be written into those plans, what policies could be approved by DNR within the constraints of 191. We believe in the districts that not only has there been a significant lack of clarity, but the trend has been with every subsequent clarification of guidance, of interpretation that we've gotten, that we can do less and less with our local district plans than was originally testified to when HB 191 was being considered by the legislature. So as Gabrielle said, we've had to continually go back to the drawing board and figure out what we have left. And that's really the attitude I think the districts have, is with each successive interpretation by DNR, we try to figure out what we have left. And I'll get to why that's important in a moment. The districts have said universally at the meeting last week and at every other forum where we've been able to speak to this issue, that we've had to tremendously truncate our normal planning procedures and our consultation with our affected communities and significantly on the North Slope with affected stakeholders in revising our plans. On a plan of this importance, North Slope Borough, for instance, took 5 years of development before our initial plan was approved in 1988. The outreach we've engaged in this time has been severely abbreviated, and the result has been, in our case, and I think in most cases, that what we plan to submit by July 1, and we're going to submit our plan because we have to submit our plan, and nobody should take the submittal of our plan by July 1 as acceptance of the deadline as being sufficient. But we have severely abbreviated our public outreach process. And that has implications for our dealings with the oil and gas industry, which of course is our primary applicant on the North Slope. If the intent of 191 was to streamline development, if the intent of 191 was to enhance development opportunities around the coastal areas of the state, you are likely to see the opposite effect, because we are going to submit a plan that is a work in progress and not complete. DNR has responded, I think because they have to, that there will be ample opportunity after the July 1 date to continue to revise our plan. But let's just look at that for a second, and you folks know how this goes with constituents. We're in the process now of putting our plan out for public review, and again, an extraordinarily abbreviated public review, and has not been preceded by any visits to our villages or really substantive sit-downs with the oil and gas industry. We have to tell our planning commission, our communities, and our assembly ultimately, you've got to approve this plan to meet the July 1 deadline. There is no more time to debate this. There is no more time to sit in rooms outside of the public process and really work out the details of these plans. What we would have to advise our assembly and our planning commission to do is to err on the side of being more restrictive rather than less restrictive to protect our resources and subsistence opportunities on the slope. And then let DNR work it out after the July 1 date as we continue to revise our plan. That is, it is fundamentally unfair to our public, because we're going to be putting out a plan that we ourselves don't believe in and is incomplete, but has to be approved and submitted by the July 1 date. In terms of our dealings with the oil industry, part of the reason it took 5 years to get our initial plan approved was because of the give and take with the industry, and because our plan essentially got kicked back from the state and then again from OCRM, where these plans ultimately have to be approved as well, because of very strong lobbying by the oil and gas industry on the North Slope. We do not expect the oil and gas industry to be passive stakeholders in this process. And by forcing us to submit incomplete plans by July 1, you are forcing a confrontation. And that is not something that on the North Slope we look forward to or invite. None of these plans should be looked at as anti-development. We on the North Slope are dramatically, definitively not anti-development. We depend on the oil industry in the same way, and maybe more so, as a portion of our budget than the state of Alaska does. The district has said that they can continue to refine the plans and continue to work with the public if given more time. That is the case. DNR has said you can work after the deadline. Our problem with that is, in virtually every case where a district which has already submitted a plan, or those of us who are about to submit plans, have worked with DNR, the end result has been the loss of additional enforceable policy. Every time we sit down and try to figure out what these regulations mean, we lose something at the local level. And again, that is counterproductive. And at the meeting last week, one of our district representatives suggested to DNR that if you want to invite lawsuits, which are the most delaying event that can occur in the case of a major development, the way to do it is to put bad, confusing plans in place. And that's sort of where we're headed, I think. The other issue that was raised is, where is the money coming from to continue to revise our plans after the July 1 deadline? We all received grants this year to work on revision of our plans. We've exhausted those grants. Many of us have exhausted resources far beyond the level of those grants. The grants that would be coming next cycle, if we survive as a federally approved program, would almost certainly be insufficient to both implement our program that is in place and continue to revise our program, and to essentially, if that's our DNR's intention, to essentially catch up on the public stakeholder outreach process. We have no idea where that money is coming from and how sufficient that will be to accomplish our goals. In terms of how the constituents are going to respond to this, and again, we are kind of caught in the middle as planners, keepers of these plans. We have to go to our constituents and say to them, as I said before, here's an incomplete plan that's a work in progress. We'll take your input. There's not a whole lot we can do with it in order to meet the deadline of July 1. You have a lot of these stakeholders in these districts. And again, as I said at the meeting last week with DNR, with the possible exception of Anchorage, people in local communities know what their coastal management programs can do for them. They know how it has allowed them at the local level to affect development that occurs in their backyard. And again, it's managing development, not preventing development. many people put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into the development of these existing programs. They are going to be shocked, as the districts have already found out that have put their plans out there, by how little is left from the existing plan. And we're not here today to discuss the public policy aspects of what the administration is trying to do. But on the timeline issue, you're going to have irate constituents when they see what little of their plans are left and how little local control is left. DNR has countered our claims that they have gone beyond the mandate of 191 in how they've interpreted the regulations that are now proposed. And that we can work those issues out after the July 1 date. Well, I think those issues need to get worked out in front of the public. In some ways, that's selfish on my part as one of the folks that have to bring our plan before the North Slope Borough community and expect to get a great deal of anger tossed back our direction. We think that all of that needs to get discussed and the extent we can retain some measure of local control, as we were assured we could during the debate on 191, needs to get discussed in front of the public one time, not our 21-day public process. Please approve this work in progress because it got to be today. But in front of the public with all of the cards on the table, with the oil industry in the room, and with DNR perhaps in the room as we discuss our borough plan, and have DNR sit in front of our public and sit in front of the oil industry and sit in front of our assembly and our planning commission and help us explain what we're able to do with our remaining program. That is not possible with the July 1 deadline. As Gabrielle said, no district has done or can do the kind of outreach that they would like to do with the July 1 deadline. Now, Randy spoke of the ongoing negotiations. I guess I have 2 points, and one of them I made briefly earlier, and that's why the two deadlines are linked. On July 1, the existing state standards expire, and you've got to have preliminary approval from OCRM, or you lose the program. That, to me, seems independent of the need of the district to have more time to revise our plan, except, as Gabrielle said, how that resolution is reached will decide, in some ways, what we can include in our plan. So, Gabrielle suggested a 6-month extension that would be independent of the OCRM approval. Well, that's assuming the OCRM approval occurs by July 1 and we get the straight 6-month approval. That, I guess, might work. But if DNR is aggressively pursuing, as Randy said, resolution of the very few remaining issues with OCRM, I'd like to know from them what they've done since the letter was received from OCRM on, I believe, March 26th, to reach resolution of those remaining issues. If you can do it quickly, and the issue of holding OCRM's feet to the fire is moot, why not do it quickly and give us the extension? Give us the extension we need to play off of whatever the issues are that are decided with OCRM, and to do the best job we can one time in a responsible way for our constituents and put these plans in place whether we like them or not. I mean, and that's again the bottom line is none of us in the district like the direction that DNR and the administration is taking this program out of the hands of local communities to some extent. Randy and I may disagree as to the extent of the reduction in local control, but everybody has to acknowledge that it's a reduction in local control. But I think we need to do it one time. We need to do it in the full light of day, not after the July 1 deadline. And we need to identify where the funds are going to come from to continue the process. And with that, I'll end my comments and be available for any questions you may have.
Questions by the committee?
Mr. Loma, I got a question, a couple of them anyway. What was the effective date of HB 191? Wasn't that 2003?
Correct. 2003 is when it was passed.
So we've had until the effective date 2003 until June 30th of 2005 to start working on these plans and bring them up to position to submit, right?
Not exactly true, sir. The regulations are really the blueprint that we're working off of. And there was, again, a several-month delay before DNR could put personnel in place and before contractors were hired to actually begin the work. I don't know the date, but I believe contractors were not hired until October or November of 03 to begin the work of revising the regulations that we needed to wait for. There is very little in 191 that gives us direction in terms of the nuts and bolts of revising our program. We had to wait for the regulations. And that process was extremely protracted. We, as Randy said, had several meetings around those, but anyone who was there will tell you that a good part of the meetings was, again, the contractors being put in the unfortunate position of saying, there's not a whole lot we can do to respond to your comments because we have deadlines to meet that DNR is giving us. So every step of the way, these deadlines were looming, but there was no finality that allowed us to sit down and in a reasonable, sequential way and revise our plans. So if your essential question is, when could we start revising our plans and why did we not start revising them sooner? Because we had significant lack of clarity on extremely critical issues. For the North Slope in particular, it was how and whether, I guess whether and how, we could craft enforceable policies dealing with subsistence and on federal land and the federal OCS, federal out of continental shelf, offshore waters, in our plan, whether we could do that. And we still believe there's some significant lack of clarity on those key issues. DNR may tell you that they believe they achieved clarity on those perhaps as early as December or January of this year. But again, if you buy into that it was January of this year, that's still up to 6 months to craft a plan. It took us 5 years the first time around.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Any further questions? Okay, thank you for your testimony, Mr. Loman. Appreciate it. Next on to testify is Mar Smith from Lake and Pinbow.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, committee members, Mr. Chair. I'm Mar Smith, Community Development Coordinator for Lake and Pinbow Borough, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today. The Lake and Pinbow Borough will submit our plan on time, as we've said, and one thing I'd like to say is we are in support of this House Bill 102, an extension of the time period to do that, and I guess the CS that goes along with it. Although we will submit our plan on time, and as also other districts have indicated they will submit their plan on time, the plan we're submitting is not a plan that we're clearly proud of. We've done a lot of work on it. It's been a lot of hard work, but it still needs a lot more work, and we realize that work will have to continue later on, provided we can get some funding to do it. How will extension help us? The public process to the Lake Peninsula Borough is very important. We're doing a 21-day precursory review and trying to get word out to our communities. The plan is being revised. Our planning commission has been working on this diligently for some time with our contractor to try to get the plan in the final format. It took us over 4 years to do our previous plan, and we did an extensive public review in 17 communities, of which we have 6 second-class cities and 11 native villages spread over 450 miles. And all those communities are either located on saltwater of the ocean or on freshwater lakes of the borough. And we think the public process in the way it's been done here is very, very straight. It's very shortcut and does not give the opportunity to the citizens to realize what has happened on this plan. And when later on they realize that, they're going to be yelling at us and screaming, why did it happen? As I mentioned earlier, we'll get our plan on time. However, if we get, and the reason we submitted on time is because we have no choice in order to receive the funding that we have committed to complete our plan. We signed a contract with DCCD and OPMP to submit our plan, and in the contract, if we agreed to get funding back to pay our contractors. We have no choice but to do that, or we don't get the funding, and we'll have to pay for it ourselves. So that it's two constraints. We want to get it done, but there's a financial strain involved. And what's further revealing after reviewing seeing some of the plans that have been submitted already, for example, the Illusions West CRSA submitted their plans for policies. They had 41 policies they went in with. They came out with about 19 policies, and we're not sure that all those 19 will still survive after this final review is completely done. And so, again, that diminishes the power and the local power that we have in the plans that we're submitting. And I suspect that our plan could have as many rejected as theirs do. We hope not. In regard to funding, many districts called me today. They're not going to allow to testify. I want to emphasize the fact that they are putting additional funds over and above what DNR has allowed in order to get their contract, get their plan revised, in addition to numerous man hours for more than one of their staff members and board members, and along with planning commissioners on top of it. So there's a lot of hard work being done by local districts to get these plans done as best we can, given the time constraints we've been given and the continuing conflicting information given out on each one of the meetings concerning how they could be written. In the governor's letter to OCRM, he made a statement that it was a state's rights issue. This was repeated by Mr. Tom Irwin on the meeting we had on March 30th, which I will also add was a very good meeting, a productive meeting. I told Commissioner Irwin and also the Chief of Staff the same after that. But we feel not only is it a state's rights issue, it's a local community rights issue. And those local community rights are being far, far taken away with what is happening with revisions to our plans. And we think that we're the districts that make this plan. It may be a state's rights issue, but before it's a state's rights issue, it's a local issue for the citizens and the boroughs and districts involved in it prior to that. And we'd like for that to be pointed out. Local input in these plans is very critical. And it was one of the basis of all these plans originally started from begin with. And we feel that is being diminished for what's going on. There's been often some statements that we think the plans are going to be okay, but specifically, we think that OCRM is correct in some of their statements, such as the scope and content of the district plans, such as subsistence and jurisdictional in the OCS has not been identified correctly. Application of the district policies and designated areas, that still needs to be clarified. The issues of districts having jurisdiction in federal waters and land in critical federal waters, that has got to be resolved or we can't. We are totally in support of a federal program. We realize that without a federal program, this program would not have any strength at all. We strongly support the state to participate in a federal program. And as it was mentioned in a previous meeting, there's over two-thirds of the state's population is along the coastlines of Alaska, probably over 300 villages that are involved in that. The state of Alaska compiles 52% of the nation's coastline. That's more than North 48. Decisions made about this coastal management program, especially if things happen and it doesn't go on and we continue to be in the federal program, will be federal decisions. And can we live with the fact that we're not in a federal program and we have more than half of the coastline in the state of Alaska that wouldn't be included in it? And that's not fair to the nation, period. Are we 100% sure the state and OCRM can work out their differences in agreement? As Commissioner Irwin said at the meeting on the 30th, many times you go down to the negotiations and you get down and it's all stopped with one word. And that one word, and if it stopped on June 30th, and they got one word that's resolved, and this is how this thing expires, and House Bill 91 expires, then we have no federal program. If we have an extension, we can allow those need to continue. And I understand the state's reluctance to have additional time for OCRM to probably pick up their program. But I don't think that is the case. They've narrowed it down to about four or five issues that need to be worked out. And I think that both working together can happen. And we encourage that to continue. We're sitting on the sidelines, kind of watching what's happening and hoping that it can be resolved. I encourage the committee to pass this version of the bill and grant an extension. And I think the extension should be as Gabrielle mentioned, a time to approximately a 6-month extension and delink those two possibilities of OCRM and give us the districts the time to work our plans out and get all the plans we can approved. 6 months of that is a lot of effort to be done to do the public process. We're coming up on the summer season here in Alaska. Our public review is going to be done during that time frame. If we can extend it out 6 months, it'll give us far more time to get through the subsistence season, which many of our communities are deeply involved in that, and the public process would not get us due deference. One thing that needs to be considered is the long-term effects of all this. 10 years from now, all 27 of these plans are going to come due again. Somebody needs to think about that. How are we going to fix that, can we? Because we're going to be back here 10 years now redoing all 27 of these plans, and it's going to be a planning nightmare. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. If you have any questions, I'll be on board.
Questions of Mr. Smith? No questions. Okay. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir.
And if you do have that testimony written, all three people who testified, I'd appreciate it if you forwarded that to my office, to the attention of Mary Jackson. Senator Guess?
Mr. Chair, when we're done with public testimony, can we have Mr. Bates come back up for a few questions?
Yeah. You want to come back up, Randy? I'd like to let the record reflect that we've been joined by Senator Elton, Senator Seekins. Senator Guest, you had a question?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Bates, and I apologize. I had this question when you were up before, but I thought I'd give myself a little bit more time to listen. Explain to me again the relationship between OCRM and the district plans, mm-hmm. and why the district plan or the district plan deadlines, why the district plan deadline has a relationship to you getting the administration getting resolution with OCRM.
Okay. Senator Guest, through the chair, let me, if I could, just clarify your question. You're not asking about the relationship between OCRM, the governing body, and the districts. You're asking about the relationship of the two deadlines that we're talking about.
Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. To Senator Guest, through the chair, there are two deadlines. There is within your packet, underneath the testimony I presented this earlier, you do have a deadline or a timeline chart, and I want to point that out because I think that shows you where we've been since May 21st, 2003, when Governor Murkowski signed HB 191. I want to point out that one of the first tasks we as DNR were given was rewrite the regulations that implement the coastal management program. So we had three chapters of regulations to rewrite. The deadline for completion of those was July 1st, 2004. In fact, those did go in place July 1st, 2004. As part of HB 191 back in the transitions, the districts then had 1 year to rewrite their plan revisions from the time the regulations went in effect, July 1st, 2004. That then establishes July 1st, 2005 as the deadline for the coastal districts to submit their plan revisions. There is also another provision within HB 191 in a different transition section that sunsets the coastal district standards. And those are the state standards that that are used within a consistency review process for compliance, for project compliance, and that deadline for sunset is also July 1st, 2005. So that explains the difference between the two deadlines.
Okay, and my apologies again. It seems as if the administration is in some type of negotiation with the OCRM.
That's correct.
What I guess I'm still missing is the relationship between those negotiations and the district plan deadline.
Okay. One thing I would point out, and I'm not sure it's in your packet at this point, it's certainly something I can provide to the committee after today or after this hearing. We did receive, let me go back just a little bit and state that we submitted the amended coastal program, which included the statutes and the regulations, and we did that in December of 2004. OCRM came back on January 28th with a 49-page letter which detailed numerous failures, as they characterized it, or program approvability issues with the coastal management program, and they said that each of these issues that they articulated needed to be addressed in order to achieve program approvability. On February 23rd, the governor issued a very strong and pointed letter that said, we believe we've developed a program that works for Alaska and is approvable, and OCRM needs to move their position and adhere to the intent of the Federal Program Act and work and assist the state in preparing a program that works for our management needs. In response to that letter, OCRM came back on March 25th and whittled those 49 pages down to four basic issues. Three basic issues, I would say, for the most part, because the one issue that has been brought up by other testimony here is the scope and content of coastal district plans. In fact, OCRM determined within their March 25th letter that the information included in the December 16th submission was sufficient, did describe in necessary detail the information for coastal districts, their participation, and how they can write district policies. So we have no regulatory revisions to make regarding the scope or content of district policies. Now, we continue to negotiate with OCRM. We're in the process of responding to them right now. We expect, or at least are hopeful, to have a letter out within the next couple days, which will detail our response to the four issues that remain outstanding from OCRM's March 25th letter. As part of that, we don't feel that it is necessary to extend the coastal district deadlines. We expect OCRM to respond to us following our letter that should come out in the next couple days, and we're quite honestly hopeful that they will come back and give us the okay or the approval sign to keep moving forward and pursue the changes that we're proposing to address their approvability issues.
Chair, may I continue?
Senator Guest.
Thank you for walking me through that. That is what I needed. Can you, because I don't see it in my packet, my apologies if it is, can you just outline for me what the four issues are? And it sounds like you are on those issues suggesting that you will be making changes to the regulations on those.
Senator Guest, through the chair. Yeah, I will certainly provide a copy of the letter from OCRM, but in general, I'll give you the flavor of the letter that was sent back to Governor Frank Murkowski from Dr. Richard Spinrad, the Assistant Administrator of NOS, which is National Ocean Service, back within NOAA. The four issues include the application of district policies in the designated areas, and this we have termed, I guess, affectionately the effects test, and that is the location of the project affecting coastal uses or resources, and they're suggesting that we need some regulatory revisions. The second issue is compliance with local government regulations, and it's a very strict and legal detail about the program and how it's structured, and they're suggesting that by sunsetting the state standards on July 1st, when that's mistimed with the district plan revisions that go in effect hopefully later in 06, then we've got a disconnect there and we need to resolve that. So they're suggesting some regulatory changes necessary there. The third point that they've brought up is the scope and content of district plans, and they again have said that there are no regulatory revisions necessary, but they would like to see the program description that we submitted in December a little more concise in how we address the coastal district plans, their content, their scope, and how districts participate in the coastal management program. The fourth issue that they have raised as an approvability point is the habitats policy. And we have a state standard which addresses habitat. And they've suggested that the habitat standard in and of itself needs to address impacts to the ecological functions of habitat. And so we need to address that and respond to them there.
So can I continue?
I would, if I could continue, Senator, Mr. Chair. While I did suggest that there are regulatory revisions that may be necessary to accommodate federal approvability of the program, I want to be very clear that the regulatory revisions that are either being contemplated by the administration or proposed within OCRM's response to get us to approvability are unrelated to how districts craft their enforceable policies. They are more getting at how the district programs and how the state standards are implemented. Those are two very different different things.
We have another question.
May.
Go ahead, Senator Guest.
Thank you. So the four issues, I just want to make sure I understand, the four issues in your mind are not going to impact the plans which are due this year, but they will impact the implementation of those plans.
That would be my, Senator Guest, through the chair, yes, that would be my my summary.
And I really am not just trying to be a smart aleck. I am trying to understand, but tell me once again why the administration's against extending the deadline. I mean, if the regs took long, I don't know if they took long, it sounded like they took as long as we thought they were going to take, given that you had to rewrite, I mean, 191 was a substantial bill, so I don't think we would have thought that it would take any less than a year. But if people do have a better public process or a better quality plan, there's one thing to complete a plan, but have a better quality plan needs some more time. What's the downfall on the public policy side from giving the communities more time?
Senator Guest, through the chair. That's a fair question. I would point back to the fact that we're dealing with the committee substitute for SB 102, and the language within that committee substitute is geared off of the approval of NOAA. And that the year that the districts are asking for is a year from the date OCRM approves the coastal management program. When we get to that fact, we're talking about 2007 when districts are to submit their plans. We don't expect NOAA to complete NEPA before at least this next Christmas, if not several months after that.
So in your mind, that's not just extending a deadline, it's going for years, and in your guys' mind, we need to have these plans done sooner.
That's correct. Senator Guest, through the chair, the average age of the coastal district plans is 14 years. As we've heard testimony previous in this committee as well as other committees that this has been brought up in, the plans are out of date, and there was a need for reform. That is part of what HB 191 did, was reform the ACMP, not just the statutes and not just the regs, but the entirety of the program, including the district plans. They were out of date as much as the state standards were out of date. We're bringing them back such that it is a streamlined program with some objectivity to it, and that's a goal that this administration has with this program.
Just one more question.
Guess.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And do you have an opinion yet on the suggestion that was made in public testimony on extending it 6 months and decoupling between the approval and the deadline?
Senator Guest, through the chair, that is certainly something we would look at. Not prepared to object or concur with that at this point.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? Senator Elk.
Mr. Chair, I'll begin by apologizing and hope that I'm not covering ground you already have, and I got up here late from another meeting. Randy, and I missed your previous testimony too, so maybe you had covered it, but it seems to me that the legislature had made a decision when they passed the bill, I think it was 191, when they passed the bill, that it was going to take a year for the districts to submit their revised plans. So I guess I'm having a difficult, it's difficult to craft a plan unless you know what's been approved. And so I'm having a difficult time trying to determine why the one-year period was wrong then, but may be wrong if you apply the 1 year after the plan has been approved.
Senator Elton, through the chair, the state still believes that the coastal plan that we put together, the statutes and the regulations, is approvable, and that with minor regulatory changes, as I mentioned, would constitute an absolute approvable program, and that with that, there are no changes that would impact the coastal district drafting of enforceable policies. Therefore, the extension is unnecessary in our minds.
Senator Elton.
I appreciate what you've said, but I mean, we were assured when the bill passed that it was going to be approvable, and it hasn't been approved yet. And so the problem for the coastal districts is that they don't know what's going to be approved, so it's difficult to do that. So, I mean, I've heard reassurances before from the department that, in fact, you've got an approvable plan, but obviously it hasn't been approvable yet. And you can comment or not to what I just said.
Senator Elton, through the chair, I stand by what I've told you in meetings as well as already in this committee hearing. I believe that we have an approvable program. I believe that we're very close. We continue to aggressively pursue federal approval. I imagine within the next couple days we'll respond to OCRM and detail the final changes that we believe are necessary in our final position, and we're looking for an immediate response from them so that we know, yes, it is approvable.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just will note for the record that I've heard the same thing before, and it hasn't happened yet.
I have one question, and I understand some of the frustration with the coastal districts. But if they have that frustration, it's my understanding that last week there was concurrence among the 27 districts that they could have their plans in by July 1. Is that not true?
Mr. Chair, that is what we've heard as well. In fact, my office has been working very hard on reviewing those plans that have already come in for public review. We do expect that 27 of the 27 districts that are currently working on plan revisions will succeed in getting them in by the deadline.
Second question I have is, some of the testimony said that if they didn't have their plans in, I believe this is right, correct me if I'm wrong, that if they didn't have their plans in by July 1, they would not receive the necessary funds to update their plan. Was that not said, something along that line?
I believe that's what I heard, Mr. Chair. I also heard that.
That confuses me. Can you clarify that for me?
Coastal Management Program is a very clear and concise program. I won't
start
there.
I don't
think
so.
No, I understand. Mr. Chair, the within HB 191, there was a mandate back in the transition section that required all 33 coastal districts to review and revise their coastal plans and submit them for DNR review and approval in compliance with the new statutes and regulations that were promulgated. 27 of the 33 coastal districts are currently complying with that mandate of HB 191 passed in 2003. As part of their efforts to revise their plans and comply with the law, we have provided $900,000 in planning monies, and are assisting them in every way possible to make sure they get their plan revisions done in time. To get more directly to your question, if a district fails to get their plan revisions in on time by July 1st of 05, they will lose, and I think I characterize it as priority processing within my testimony, they will lose priority processing. In other words, we've only got staff available enough to review the 27 or fewer plans that come in, and that we created a specific regulatory process to accommodate this shortened time frame. If a district wants to continue in the coastal management arena, they can certainly continue to make their plan revisions under the other regulations within the coastal management program, which is just a little bit longer, involves more public process. But there is a chance that their plan will sunset July 1st of 2006, which is another provision within HB 191.
Okay. Clarify. Any further questions? Senator Elton?
Mr. Chair, you may have gone over this, so just cut me short and somebody can fill me in later. But, Randy, when you talk about the ability to submit a plan by the existing deadline, I mean, it's been characterized to me that Aleutians West has submitted a plan, that there have been significant issues the DEC has raised with that plan. I mean, so are you suggesting that the plans that they could submit are going to be plans that are approvable under your process or the state's process? And if not, are you suggesting they can go back and do amendments to plans that they may submit in haste by July 1st?
Senator Elton, through the chair, there is a process we created within the regulatory regulations of the ACMP, which is specific to the time frames within HB 191. So in order to accommodate the public review process for the local government and for their local review, we created this process regulatorily, and I can certainly give you the site at a later time. What that does is the districts develop a plan. They put it out for a minimum 21-day public comment period, which allows public participation not only from the state level but the local level. And once they receive comments back, as Aleutians has, they then will consider those comments, revise their enforceable policies as appropriate, and once they get that done, I believe it passes through the Assembly or Council or CRSA Board, and it will be forwarded to our office by July 1st, by June 30th of 05. It is a requirement of HB 191 that those plans be in accordance with the statutes and regulations. We expect to see them in pretty good shape when we get them. That isn't to say that they're perfect and compliant at that point. There is a full state review process that then occurs once we have received the plan, and that's also a regulation, a process within the regulations where we take a look at them. We evaluate the policies and the remaining chapters and components of a district plan. We provide a finding and conclusion. We put that out for public review and process. Again, all participants in the coastal program or interested folks are able to comment, and we work with the coastal district as appropriate and necessary to revise their policy to match what the district wants as well as what is compliant with state law. And at that point, we move it along to the commissioner who has adoption authority there.
Senator Elden.
So, using Aleutian West again, the process that you have described seems to be very time-consuming, seems to require a great amount of negotiation, both at the district level, something that local government can approve, a great deal of negotiation between the district and the state. Given the process, when would you expect, if everything goes perfectly, when would you expect an approved Aleutians West plan?
Senator Elton, through the chair, I believe that this is a fairly streamlined planning function. Planning is not not the quickest, as you've heard from some folks. I believe that this is an efficient, streamlined, and effective planning process to get some program approval or program changes made for the coastal district plans. I would expect, with Aleutians, as with the majority of the other 26, 27 coastal districts, that we would be forwarding those to the commissioner for signature and then on to OCRM, who will again need to review and approve these plans. I imagine that will be April, May of 2006. What we figure it to be is about a 10-month process from July when we receive these plans.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Any further questions? Seeing none, I'm going to put this bill aside at this time. And just an announcement for next, this Friday will be our next meeting. We'll be hearing Senate Bill 85, titled The Dalton Highway, and Senate Bill 96, University Land Grant. So, meeting's adjourned.